We are privileged to have Steve James on the line. Steve, director of Hoop Dreams, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Good, great. And boy, it's just a real privilege to have you on, and we are just so looking forward to Thursday night when you're going to have Hoop Dreams playing at the Park City Library.
Yeah, that I'm excited to come back and show the film there. It's been quite a while.
it's well, we're looking forward to it. I was just going through all the awards that your film has received and that you have received, and of course, I started off with the Academy Awards and how didn't get it. You were nominated for editing, and then they just kind of slipped up on everything else, and there was such an outcry over it that they had to change the way they selected documentaries.
Yeah, I think in some respects the best thing that happened to Hoop Dreams was not getting nominated, because on the heels of that snub, it really took off at theaters, because a lot of critics, there was a huge outcry, and people just said, what is it with this film that people are so, you know, exercised about it? Maybe I should go check it out.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Okay, I think we've got Virginia here. Hang on just a second. Okay, Virginia, is that you?
Yep.
Great. Okay, you want to introduce yourself?
Yes. This is Virginia Pierce, and I am calling in from Sundance Institute, Associate Director of Artist Relations, and I program the film series.
And we are thrilled to have you on, and we want to thank you so much for bringing this film here this week to be shown this Thursday night, 7 to 10, at the Park City Library.
I know. I'm so excited. I'm so excited Steve's coming in.
Yeah, that is absolutely outstanding, and there's going to be a Q&A afterwards, right?
Yep.
That is
Q&A, and it'll be great to hear kind of an update of where the subjects are, and you know, it's been 15 years since we've screened it.
Great.
The festival and
let's just start off for people who haven't who don't know about Hoop Dreams. Can you give us a little blurb on that, please?
You want me to do
yes,
that?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, it's a film that we made, we started really way back in 1987, if you can believe that. But it wasn't completed for a number of years, and then we premiered it at Sundance in 94. It's a film in which we followed two young African-American high school kids who had the dream of, you know, pursuing basketball. And of course, we end up following them and their families over the course of about 4.5 years throughout their high school careers and a little bit into college. And, you know, it was a project that started out to be a much more modest undertaking, trying to be realistic about things like fundraising and such. But it just sort of grew and became its own, you know, animal, really, and kind of took over our lives. But it was a sort of blessed experience for us as filmmakers.
Well, it just started off as a half an hour film, right?
That's right. It started out to be a half hour film, you know, that would focus primarily on a single court, let's say, in the city, and focus on some young dreamers like Arthur and William. You know, and some players who might have come through the system and were kind of washed up as ball players, but still hung out at the court. And you could say that's sort of like William's brother Curtis played that role essentially in the final film. And so, you know, the idea was to focus on a playground, but once we met Arthur, and that eventually led us to William, we realized that a more interesting story was going to be to follow these kids off the court as they pursue this dream, you know, for real in high school, especially when we realized that Arthur was going to, you know, leave the inner cities of Chicago neighborhood and go out to a place like St. Joe's, which was a suburban school and a basketball power in the Chicagoland area. So it was too great of a story to not just follow that story instead of the original idea.
Well, and you were pursuing grants and everything else all the way, right?
Yeah, our joke was is that one of the reasons it took us 7.5 years to make the film was because it took us 7.5 years to raise the money. And that's not exactly, you know, a complete joke. I mean, we had this dream fairly early on that maybe we could follow these kids over time. But it was really this sort of, you know, labor of passion for us while we did other jobs, really, because we could never really raise enough money to just devote ourselves entirely to it until, you know, very near the end. And I think that was in part, it was so hard to raise money because at that time, I think in the world of foundations where you could raise money for a film like this now, there was this sense that we were making a film about basketball. And really, the film, you know, is about basketball in one sense, but it's about so much more than that. And I think it took a while for funders to kind of get at what we were trying to do. And when they did, the MacArthur Foundation in particular really got it. And they, you know, they gave us a sizable grant and really saved the film, you know, and allowed it to be the film that it became.
And then PBS kicked in a final amount, right?
PBS was involved, yes. Early on, we got some money from CPB, you know, which helped. But then we got money from PBS at the end. And then, of course, the other major player in all of this was Cartemquin Films, where, you know, I've now have had an affiliation for 25 years. Cartemquin, where we made the production, you know, really kind of took us under their wing and helped us through all those lean years. And you know, I've maintained a connection to the company ever since. I've made a number of documentaries since, and whenever possible, I try to do them through Cartemquin.
And your latest being on Iverson, is that right?
Yes, I've got a film for this ESPN 30 for 30 series called No Crossover, The Trial of Allen Iverson. And it's a film about Allen Iverson when he was in high school and was involved in this racial bowling alley brawl that divided my hometown. I'm from the same hometown as Iverson. So,
and that's Hampton?
Hampton, Virginia.
Hampton, Virginia.
Right.
Okay.
So it was it's an interesting film in that it's both has personal aspect to it because I go back to try to understand what happened. I even interview my mom, if you can believe it. So, and then, you know, I interviewed, of course, lots of people that were involved in the incident at that time.
That's phenomenal. It's phenomenal that you came from Hampton, Virginia. You saw the problems there, and then you see the problems again in Chicago. And it's almost like you're doing a parallel thing with the kids that you're filming, where you're going for your own NBA hoop dreams, only it's in film, right?
Yeah, well, I certainly had my own NBA hoop dreams as a kid, however misguided they were. I certainly had them. And I think, yes, I mean, I think Hoop Dreams, the movie, became our hoop dream, in a sense. And certainly for me as a filmmaker, for it to be the film that really launched me as a filmmaker in my career, I couldn't have, you know, gotten luckier, really. I mean, it's everything I've done since, every bit of success, you know, as a filmmaker I've had since, all, you know, stems from Hoop Dreams.
Well, and don't you think the difficulties that you had during that 7-year period, just as with the kids you were filming, it's the overcoming those obstacles that gives you the gumption and everything else and confidence to keep going, right?
Yeah, I mean, we, you know, I think Frederick Marx and Peter Gilbert and I, we all grew as filmmakers while we were making the film. But, and I think if you watch the film with that in mind, you can sort of see that the filmmaking gets better and better as the film progresses.
That'll be interesting. Yeah.
You know, but I think one of the other things, of course, that needs to be mentioned is that, you know, when we were done with this film, even though MacArthur had and Cartemquin and other funders had come in and helped us complete the film, but at the end of the process, we had this, you know, 3-hour documentary on young, unknown basketball players shot on video. It was and so when we went to Sundance with the film, you know, it really was for the film, the coming out party for the film. I mean, going into Sundance, we had sent the film to a number of distributors with the hopes that they would take a look at it and consider it. And frankly, I doubt any of them ever even watched it. It came in on 2 tapes because it was so long. And when they saw what it was about, I'm sure most of them just said, this is not anything that I could do anything with.
And maybe it's because it was so out of genre that they just, it was a new genre of its own, just about.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, most you know, small documentaries at that time that would have any hope of any kind of theatrical release were not about sports, number one, and they weren't about unknowns like these kids and their families. So, you know, when the film premiered at Sundance and went on to have, you know, that sort of filmmaker's dream of a Sundance Film Festival run, that really, you know, opened the doors for the film in terms of its theatrical potential, you know, and it won the Audience Award there, which was probably
absolutely
the absolute best award it could possibly win.
Absolutely, because then you know that's your litmus test right there, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's nice to appeal to the juries and everything else, but the ultimate jury is the general public, and if they like it, then that's it.
Yeah, so I think for me to be able to come back now 15 years later with the film and play again at Park City, in Park City, you know, at the library, will be, you know, will be a really special way to remember the impact that the festival had on the film, and you know, and to recall, you know, what a special time that was.
That is fantastic. Now, how do you feel about this, Virginia? You've just got to be applauding, right?
Well, yeah, I'm thrilled. I mean, it's always been a goal to bring back some of these kind of pivotal films, in both in Sundance history and in the filmmaker history, and Steve's always been high on my list, so I can't be more excited to have him come back, and we're definitely going to take advantage of picking his brain at the Q&A, and we also have a school visit set up for him at Park City High School.
I'm thrilled with that. That's great.
So, yeah, the students are very excited, Steve. We have lots of interested students, so
great.
That'll be fun.
Oh, that's outstanding, because they're the ones who really need to see this, and I mean, everybody needs to see this.
Yeah, for sure, and I hope everyone who both, you know, I've talked to a lot of people who think, oh God, I love that movie. I'm so excited to see it again. And hopefully we'll get a whole new audience as well.
Great. Good. Okay. And that's 7 o'clock at
Park City Library. Yep. On Thursday.
Great. Okay. Let's take just a little break and we'll run some underwriters and get right back to you.
You know, sometimes people ask the wrong questions when it comes to their cars.
But a good mechanic has to be able to see right through to the heart of the matter.
The question is, we have drive 3-2-1. When do I use the drive, and when do I use the 3?
Well, if you want to prolong the life of the transmission, you should leave the shifter in P.
Join us for Car Talk.
Don't miss Car Talk, Saturday mornings at 9, here on your Community Connection, KPCW. Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided by Summit Meadows Adventures, guided snowmobile tours. For reservations, 645-SNOW. Spencer's Smoke and Grill, authentic barbecue, dine-in, takeout, and catering, 645-8483. Highland Title on Iron Horse, 200-0003, highlandtitleutah.com. And the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you.
Okay, you're listening to PM Park City at 91.9 FM, your Hoop Dreams Connection. I'm Pam Wiley, and with me is Steve James and Virginia Pierce from the Sundance Institute. And Steve James is the director of Hoop Dreams. He will be here this Thursday at the Park City Library for a free showing of Hoop Dreams. It goes from 7 until 10, and there's a Q&A afterwards. Okay, speaking of Q&As, Steve, what's the most asked question you have?
What are the boys up to these days?
Yeah, okay. And are you going to wait until Thursday to give that to us?
I think we should, because, you know, I think people need to come see the movie to get that question answered.
Yeah. Absolutely. Don't give that away.
Good. Good. Okay, well, I'm with you on that one. And again, it's about William Gates and Arthur Agee, and they are recruited by St. Joseph High School in Westchester, Illinois, which is a predominantly white high school, right, with an outstanding basketball team.
Right.
And so they have a 90-minute commute to the school and long and difficult workouts and practices. And it is a classic film. It has been called by Roger Ebert 15 years after it came out. He has called it the Great American Documentary.
Yeah, well, we had a screening here in Chicago a month or so ago, which Roger attended, which was really great, you know, because, you know, he's getting out more publicly now.
Good.
Since his surgery, and which is great. But he made a point of coming to the showing, and of course we had him stand up, and everybody gave him a standing ovation because, you know, in the middle of our run at Park City, and this was frankly even before we had got to Park City to the festival, because back then, I don't know if Virginia remembers this, or Virginia, if you're around when this was the case, but back then the festival encouraged the filmmakers to pick either the first half of the festival or the second half of the festival to come to.
Right.
They weren't able to pay for you to come for the whole festival.
Right.
And so, you know, most filmmakers chose the second half because, you know, who knows, maybe you'll win an award and you don't want to not be at the award ceremony. So we picked the second half of the festival, and while we were waiting to to fly to Sundance, Siskel and Ebert reviewed the film, which was unprecedented at the time because it wasn't a film that had distribution at all. But they, you know, they reviewed the film and said that the only place to see the film right now is if you're at Sundance. But they went on to, you know, give us a great review, and they really
That's
were
great
trying
marketing.
To,
we should work on that.
Oh my God! Well, they were really trying to help us, obviously, to find distribution. So, you know, here we are home in Chicago, and the festival's going on, and they're talking about our film. And so when we got there, you know, the buzz was even more elevated because of that, as well as, you know, the two screenings or whatever that had already happened. So
great.
You know.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. And I mean, Sundance just has to feel like a kind of almost a proud parent of Steve and your other co-filmmakers there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Steve's definitely one of the films and the ones that we point to as success stories. Both, you know, Sundance has always viewed itself as a platform for these kind of films to gain an audience and gain some, you know, critical acclaim. And so it's always such a pleasure to see that actually happening.
Yeah, and for me, you know, I've been able to go back to Sundance three times since Hoop Dreams with Films. And so, you know, I can't say that I would ever have that kind of experience of Hoop Dreams. Someone should probably shoot me if I should have that again. But it's, you know, each time I've gone back with a film, it's been a great experience to be able to go back and experience Sundance again as a filmmaker with a film in competition or being screened. And, you know, it's, you know, so I feel very fortunate.
It is outstanding, and I hope everybody goes to see it. Again, it's going to be Thursday night at from 7 to 10 at the Park City Library, and director Steve James will be there for your questions and answers, and you will find out then what's going on with the fellows that were the stars of the show. And it is, boy, kudos to Sundance on this one, because This is what Sundance is all about, as far as just bringing something to the public that just needs to be there. So,
and for free.
And
gotta
for
love
free.
That.
And for free. The Price is Right, Parkites. Sundance Institute has done well by us, and we locals just, boy, we adore the system you have as far as getting tickets for the locals and the free showings of something like this. This is not to be missed. This is really not to be missed. Well, I do thank you both for being here today, and looking forward to Thursday. I will be there in the front row, so looking forward to it. And we're moving to NPR in about 30 seconds, so we'll see you Thursday night. Thank you again, Steve James, director of Hoop Dreams, and Virginia Pearson from Sundance Institute. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.